Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's day 508, which brings us to 2 Kings 18. And Hezekiah, one of my favorite Old Testament kings, one of the true shining examples of faithfulness, for the most part, in the Old Testament, although the only perfect king in the Bible is King Jesus, that's very clear. But Hezekiah is definitely one of the better kings, one of the good kings. And so we're going to be looking at his life today. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for 2 Kings 18 that you have on tap for us today. Would you feed us with your word, and would you feed us with Christ through your word today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Kings chapter 18. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He removed the high places. Yay, finally, somebody removes the high places. He removed the high places and broke down the pillars and cut down the Asherah. And he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the people of Israel had made offerings to it. It was called Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among all those who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him wherever he went, he prospered. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and would not serve him. He struck down the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory, from watchtower to fortified city. In the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, he took it. In the sixth year of Hezekiah, which was the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. The king of Assyria carried away the Israelites to Assyria and put them in Hala and on the Habor, the river Gozan, the cities of the Medes, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, even all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. They neither listened nor obeyed. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will bear. And the king of Assyria required of Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the doorposts that Hezekiah, the king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria sent the Tartan, the Rabsaris, and the Rabshakeh with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. When they arrived, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is on the highway to the washer's field. And when they called for the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the secretary, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder. And the Rabshakeh said to them, Say to Hezekiah, Thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, On what do you rest this trust of yours? Do you think that mere words are strategy and power for war? In whom do you now trust that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you are now trusting in Egypt, that broken reed of a staff who will pierce the hand of any man who leans on it, such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has removed, saying to Jerusalem and Judah, you shall worship before the altar in Jerusalem? Come now, make a wager with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able on your part to set riders on them. How then can you repulse a single captain among the least of my master's servants when you trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Moreover, is it without the Lord that I have come up against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, said to the Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Do not speak to us in the language of Judah within the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But the Rabshakeh said to them, has my master sent me to speak these words to your master and to you, and not to the men sitting on the wall, who are doomed with you to eat their own dung and drink their own urine? Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Judah, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you out of my hand. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me. Then each of you will eat of his own vine, and each of you of his own fig tree, and each one will drink the water of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oils, olive trees and honey, that you may live and not die. And do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you by saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Shepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their lands out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people were silent and answered him not a word. For the king's command was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the secretary, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. This is such a busy chapter, and there's so much important stuff to see here. And so we're going to take a little bit of time today. First of all, when we come to Hezekiah, we've come now to a king in Judah who is going to outlast any of the kings of Israel. He comes into power in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel. And Hoshea, we'll remember from yesterday, was the last king of Israel. And he only reigned 9 years. So he's got 6 more years left on the throne when Hezekiah comes to the throne. And Hezekiah is going to reign for 25 years. So Hezekiah will reign for 19 years past the end of the northern kingdom of Israel. And he is the best king that Judah has seen since David. His high praise given to him is that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that David his father had done, because he's the first king to finally remove the high places. Now, if we doubt that these high places were places of the worship of Yahweh, the worship of the Lord, the Rabshakeh from Assyria makes that very clear to us later in the chapter. Is the Lord going to save you? Was it not his high places that Hezekiah removed? So it was the false worship of the one true God. Just like in the north, it was through the golden calves. Here it was through the high places. You cannot worship the one true God in false ways. Excuse me. You cannot worship the one true God in false man-made ways, because that is not pleasing to him. So Hezekiah, and then Josiah later, is going to do the same thing. But by that time, really, it's too late for Judah, although Judah falls after Josiah's day. But here in Hezekiah's day, he does this right thing. So with the end of northern Israel, we can take a look at a comparison of these kings. Let me see if I can get this over to where we can see it a little bit better. So this is an evaluation of the kings of Israel and Judah as they are recorded in the books of 1st and 2nd Kings, and we've looked at many of them. And just at a glance, note that a blue means a good king, a red means a bad king, and the tan highlighted means a mixture of good and bad. And just at a glance, notice that northern Israel did not have any good kings. See if I can get this like this. And then I'll go over here. So northern Israel doesn't have any good kings. They only have bad kings. And they have a lot of kings because their kings don't reign as long. So if you look, you actually can see where Hezekiah is on the map, on the list, sorry. And he is king at the same time as Hoshea, who's many, many kings down the list for Israel. This isn't by timeline. This is just one after another in a series. And so these kings of Israel generally have shorter reigns. There's also several changes of dynasties that are not seen here. But what you can see here is they only have one king who even ranks as being mixed, and that's Jehu, because Jehu did stamp out Baal worship pretty zealously, stamped out Baal worship. And so that gives him a mixed record. But Judah has Asa and Jehoshaphat, who are good kings. And then you have some mixed kings like Joash and Amaziah and Uzziah and Jotham. They were good, but they didn't remove the high places, and they had some problems, but overall they were, on the whole, better than most. And then you had a horrible king of Ahaz, and then a good king of Hezekiah, and then bad kings Manasseh and Amon, and then the good king Josiah, etc. And so you only have really four good kings of Judah, but no good kings for the northern kingdom of Israel. Only one who even ranks as middling, and that's because he does get rid of the Baal worship. So that gives us a little bit of context to understand why it is that the northern kingdom of Israel was carried off into exile 130 plus years before the final fall of Jerusalem in the south. So let's take a look at Hezekiah here, because this is a big confrontation with Sennacherib. And I actually have a map somewhere. Let's do this. This is a map of the attack of the Assyrians as they come down into Judah. And what's interesting, if you were in church for our Isaiah series, you'll know that Isaiah like perfectly predicted how this attack was going to go, and the fact that Assyria was going to wipe out Samaria, was going to wipe out the Philistines, but would not actually be able to conquer Jerusalem, would be stopped by the Lord. And that is shown on this map, by the way, in which he gets close, but he doesn't actually come and take Jerusalem. So that will actually wait until our next devotional in 2 Kings, because we're not going to really get quite to that point, but we get really up close to the point, and that is that it just seems almost comical, this laughably ridiculous, that this little petty king in Judah and Jerusalem, this little king Hezekiah, would dare to stand up against the Assyrians. The Rabshakeh's mockery is quite bold. You know, my master will give you 2,000 horses if you can find men to sit on them. You can't even stand up against the least of the captains of one of my units. You're relying on Egypt for horsemen and chariots. This is why the psalmist says, some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Where he really gets himself in trouble, though, he says a lot of things that are quite provocative, but let me just get to the chase. Where he really gets himself in trouble is in verse 32 and 33, where he says, don't listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you by saying the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Verse 34, where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of the Shepharvaim, Hinna, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among the gods of the land delivered their lands out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? And here's where Assyria and the Rabshakeh directly confront the ability of the Lord to be able to deliver his people. And that is going to come back to bite them big time. But we'll get there in due time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are powerful. You defend your people. We don't need to rely on human calculations for our provision and our protection, because we are in your hands. And you are the one who keeps us. You are our keeper, our savior, our sustainer, and the one who has never failed to keep a promise you make to your people. Help us to trust in you. Help us to follow you. Help us to depend on you humbly and totally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for 2 Kings chapter 18. And I do hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.